It's time now for Spears on Sports with John Spears, presented by M&M Carnage. And now, here's Johnny.
I made it to Thursday. Might be a Friday. I don't know. Woo-hoo. Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Carnage. John Spears in studio. Tony Burke had a late appointment he had to get to, so he may or may not be joining us any moment now. Scoots, does that make you want to leave the show right away?
I just want Tony to be a little more committed. I mean, if he can't be here on time, just don't come at all.
I disagree. I would love to have him for the last 50 minutes of the show, if that's what it is, 45 minutes, whatever it is.
No, me too, but just more commitment, please.
Yeah, it's been a crazy 2 days so far, and we are literally 11 minutes away from arguably the best 2 days in sports of the year. Fair?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely fair.
From 12:15 until about 1 o'clock in the morning, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball today. First game, Mississippi State, Michigan State, 8-9 in the West. SEC versus Big Ten. I've got Michigan State as a one-point favorite right now.
Love it.
Last game will start at 10:05 approximately tonight. Drake and Washington State.
Oh, it's the last game.
On True TV, 10:05, Drake's a one-point favorite there.
Dang it.
We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five games today out of 16 that the spread is 2 or fewer points.
Love to see that.
So it's going to be crazy. The only thing I will say that I enjoy watching more, and you may laugh at this, Scooter, sports-wise over a period of a few days, is the Ryder Cup. Mm. I love the Friday, Saturday, Sunday Ryder Cup. I watch it from start to finish. I have been known to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning when they're playing in Italy. Or they're playing in Scotland, wherever. Oh, you can read Tony's text to yourself, Scooter, on your phone. Don't read it out loud. But he is obviously listening. But I love the Ryder Cup. Now, maybe it's because it's only every other year that I get to watch it instead of every year. But for me, this is about as close as you can get to second place. The first 2 days of the end, so the first two full days of the NCAA tournament. Last night, Colorado moves on. Mountain West loses last night, 60-53 over Boise State. The Mountain West is now 1-1, but the state of Colorado is now 2-0. I saw this last night. This is the they had four Mountain time zone teams in the first four. First time ever. I don't know why that's even a stat. You had Montana State, Colorado, Colorado State, Boise State, all on Mountain Time.
Fascinating.
Fascinating.
Thanks for sharing.
Tristan Da Silva, 20 points for the Buffaloes, and they will face Florida Friday at 4:30 on TBS in Indianapolis.
Get ready, Gators.
Gators are early one-point favorites.
That should be the opposite. Colorado's going to beat them.
Overtime last night. We got our first overtime game. Grambling State, as Tony pointed out on the text, didn't know it was a state. McNeese took state off their name because they realized they're not a state. But Grambling State over Montana State, 88-81 in overtime. First appearance ever in the tournament for the Grambling State Tigers. They advanced. Jamel Kofer had 19 off the bench. Jordan Smith, 18 points, 9 rebounds. Grambling now gets Scooter's Purdue Boilermakers.
Let's do it. Let's have a repeat.
Friday, 7:25. On TBS, Purdue opens as a 26.5-point favorite.
That seems a little low.
M&M Carnage Hotline's open, 502-384-1450. No, it doesn't. 384-1450 if you'd like to join in on the conversation. Thornton's text line open as well, 502-414-1450. Don't forget, get to Thornton's, sign up for your refreshing rewards, and receive 25 cents off per gallon, plus great weekly fuel offers you cannot pass up. Download the app at the App Store or on Google Play today. All 32-ounce or smaller fountain drinks and fizz freeze are still just 89 cents at all area Thornton's locations. Enjoy your favorite fountain drink. There it is. And Scooter did that today. Delicious fizz freeze or fountain drink, 89 cents. And check out Thornton's new chicken and waffle breakfast burrito, available every morning while they last, I should say, right?
Mm-hmm.
At participating
and
Thornton's
locations.
And they
do locations. Not last long.
it's classic food. Comfort food with a kick. I don't know how to read anymore. But they got the new Mike's Honey on these bad boys. Sweet maple waffle, American cheese, crispy chicken, and Mike's hot honey. Your taste buds will thank you. I love that line.
They will.
Your taste buds will thank you.
I only can confirm. Thornton's.
And hit me up on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Had baseball today, and I got to start with baseball today, unfortunately. Dodgers lost today. Padres 15, Dodgers 11. Did you have the over, Scoot?
I did not have the over, but I was wondering, are we going for like the highest scoring baseball game of the season on the second day?
It looks like it.
Because that's impressive.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto and his huge contract got knocked around in the first inning.
No good.
One inning, five runs for the Padres. It was 9-2. This is why the Dodgers are so good. They're down 9-2 in this game in the top of the third. 15-11 is the final. Mm-hmm. You can't let up.
By the way,
you can't let up against this team.
Yamamoto's spring training ERA was over 8. So,
yikes.
Might be seeing a trend here.
Well, that's not the news, though. Shohei Ohtani's interpreter was fired yesterday for allegedly stealing, at least $4.5 million from Shohei to pay off gambling debts. Ipe Mizuhara, who is also, who is also one of Ohtani's best friends, was his interpreter for the Angels, came over to the Dodgers. He was making six figures with the Dodgers to be the interpreter, like somewhere between $300,000 and $500,000 a year. But he incurred all this gambling debt. Now, here's the tricky part of this is, and I don't know why this happened, ESPN sat down for an interview with Mizuhara, and the Dodgers allowed this to happen. And he said that Ohtani paid his gambling debt. Now, he has since recanted that and said Ohtani didn't know anything about it. Which do you believe? Based on the fact that there are two $500,000 checks signed by Ohtani to an associate of this illegal bookmaker.
This whole situation to me just screams that it was Ohtani placing the bets, and
I won't go that far.
I hate to as well, but that's what it feels like to me. He's placing the bets. He's throwing this guy under the bus as kind of like the scapegoat.
Well, if this guy's your buddy, and he's making these bets without your knowledge, now keep in mind, sports gambling in California is not legal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to bet and you're in L.A., you got to go through an illegal bookmaker. You can't do DraftKings. You can't do FanDuel. There are no brick-and-mortar places like Derby City Gaming where you can go in and place a bet. So it's illegal in California, which is where Ohtani happens to play and where his interpreter happens to have to be because Ohtani's playing there. He had to do it illegally. Now, first of all, $4.5 million, what are you doing? Who you betting? Just tell me who you're betting. I'll go the other way.
Right.
Now, according to Mizuhara, who knows what to believe now, he bet on soccer, NFL, college football, NBA. Did not bet on any Major League Baseball. And he said, I knew that was against the rules. They made that clear in spring training. You cannot bet on Major League Baseball. Okay. But you also cannot. I love when people come from other countries and they don't spend, and then all of a sudden, well, I didn't know. I didn't understand. No. This was illegal, and you knew it was illegal.
Yeah.
And if Ohtani did, in fact, write checks for $500,000 to help his friend out, there's a better way than writing a check, than signing your name to it.
Yeah.
Now, Major League Baseball does not want this to be, they want this to go away now. Because Ohtani is a moneymaker for Major League Baseball. People show up to watch him play. Viewership when he is on is incredibly spiked up when Ohtani is playing. And Major League Baseball is making a lot of money off Shohei Ohtani. But there are still a lot of questions here. And I was listening to the reporter interview Dave Roberts after yesterday's game. And it might have been today's game, actually. Dave Roberts couldn't say anything. I've been told not to say anything. The attorneys for Shohei, the attorneys for everybody have said, just don't say anything. But I give the reporter credit. They kept asking the questions over and over again. Shohei involved in this. How deep is Shohei? Did he actually write checks? Well, no comment. I can't comment on it. Well, is he involved? Is there any chance that he gambled? I can't comment on it. Again, I've been advised not to comment. You want to talk about the game? We'll talk about the game. This just looks bad. Mm-hmm. The optics are awful. First of all, why do you let this guy do an interview? The Dodgers don't have to let him do an interview with ESPN. If they know this is going on, they could say, no interview with the interpreter. Not right now. They let him do it. He lets out of the bag, apparently, that Shohei helped pay his debt off, which a friend will do. Shohei just signed a $700 million contract.
He's got the money.
$700 million. He can loan his buddy. And it actually, according to reports, on the check, the word in the box where you say what it's for,
memo,
he writes loan. So, you know, if you got it, your buddy's in trouble. Bookmakers are going to come after him if he doesn't pay, obviously. Then you pay it for him. Like, okay, you know what? You owe it back to me. I'm going to pay it for you. We'll figure something out.
What's the odds that it's as black and white as that, though? It doesn't seem like it.
We're a skeptical society.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. We're always looking for the conspiracy. Who's lying? Obviously, he lied at one point. I don't know if he lied with his first statement that Shohei paid off his debt or his second statement that Shohei didn't have anything to do with it. Shohei didn't even know I was gambling. And also, Mizuhara was asked, again, who the payments went to, and he said, I was told not to say anything, and I can't tell you who told me not to say anything. Well, that screams conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. Shady.
Who's telling you not to say anything? Is it Shohei Ohtani's attorney? Is it the Dodgers? Is it Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball? But they are going to have to do a full investigation. They've already said we're investigating this with our biggest guns here. We're going to figure out what happened. But again, it is in Major League Baseball's best interest for Shohei Ohtani not to be suspended here. I mean, Calvin Ridley got suspended for a year. It's Calvin Ridley. Maybe if it was Patrick Mahomes, we would have paid a lot more attention and cared a lot more, but it was Calvin Ridley. This is Shohei Ohtani. They do not want to suspend him for a season. What if you suspend him and he says, you know what, I'm just going to go back to Japan and play baseball. I don't need this.
Does he still get that $700 million?
No, we'll avoid that. I'll get that over in Japan. I don't need it here.
Yeah.
Somebody will pay me. It might not be $700 million, but they'll pay me to play over there. It's wow, great day. Baseball starting, the Seoul Series in South Korea. This is great. Everybody's wanting to watch Yamamoto today. Everybody's wanting to watch Ohtani like they always do. There are signs in the stands, and all of a sudden this bombshell comes out. I think it was the New York Times, but it was an ESPN reporter. I think it was the New York Times reporting it officially.
Could this be a situation where...
Did they sit on it?
It was something they sat on for a while. Yeah. Hey, first day of March Madness, let's release this.
First day of March Madness, second day of the MLB season, and they're playing in Seoul, and Ohtani's playing. And there was video yesterday of Ohtani and his interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara. I just wanted to say it again. It sounds awesome.
So impressive.
Just chatting it up in the dugout, having a good time during a Dodger victory yesterday. 25 hours later, this guy's unemployed. He's the subject of a gambling conspiracy. An illegal gambling conspiracy. This isn't even a thing where he went on his phone and made some bets. A Southern California bookmaker who is, by the way, under federal investigation. This is a big deal, man.
Yeah.
This is a big deal. I don't want it to be. Ohtani hit one to the fence in his last at bat today. I love watching him play, so I don't want it to be a big deal. But sounds like it's going to be a big deal. Again, Padres 15, Dodgers 11. Machado hit a homer. Jake Cronenworth, not Joe Cronenworth, Jake Cronenworth had four RBIs today after he let the ball go through his glove yesterday in a pivotal moment.
Oh, and that was the difference in the game. So four he made hit, up for it.
Four hits, four RBIs. Yeah. I'd say he bounced back today.
Sure thing.
Mookie Betts homered for the Dodgers. Only two homers in two games in Seoul.
By the way, we make so much of that Dodgers lineup. San Diego's lineup. I know they lost Juan Soto, but they've got a very good lineup as well.
Yeah. Tatis makes you a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Machado makes you a lot better. I'm not a big Manny Machado fan.
And then who's that rookie they had last year?
Dogs it sometimes.
The Kim guy?
You want me to pronounce all these?
I do.
Oriental names.
Haesong Kim.
Asian names, I should say. I thought it was. I'm looking at the box score. You're right.
It's like Haesong.
Haesong Kim.
Yeah.
He was 0 for 4 today. But Bogaerts 2 for 5. Bogaerts got called out. Did you see this?
I didn't.
It was, I think, bottom of the eighth. He gets called out on the timing issue. He's got two strikes.
Oh, yeah, on the strikeout.
He doesn't get in the box soon enough. They call him out, and he was not happy. But he still went 2 for 5 with 3 runs and 2 RBIs. Who pitched for the Dodgers? Because it wasn't a great performance by Yamamoto. He gave up 5 earned runs in the first inning, took him out.
How many pitchers they end up using? Like
Grove
7?
Comes in, gives up 4 runs and 3 earned runs and 5 hits in 2 innings. So, I mean, it was 9-2 early. Seven pitchers for the Dodgers. All right, that's it for baseball.
Woo-hoo.
Don't have to talk about it again for a week.
Love it.
Till the regular season starts.
That is it, a week. Week
days,
from today.
Week from today.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more baseball as it gets here. But today it is bracket day. It is NCAA first round of the tournament day. And I could not be more excited. There is one game underway. Michigan State 5, Mississippi State 4.
Tight one.
Just under 17 minutes to play. We'll keep you updated. Two games will be underway by the time we go off the air here today. And, Scooter, of course, we are heading to see our friends at Roosters.
That's right.
After the game, Bardstown Road and Hurstbourne Lane. If you'd like to come by and say hi, we'll be there for probably a couple hours, right? Watch a little basketball, have some
wings. I'd say so.
And we'll break it down after the break. Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X. Welcome back. Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears in studio. Scooter Dingus manning the producer chair on this Friday. I know it's Thursday. No show tomorrow. Told the wife I was taking the day off, and so I can't take that back. If it was just me and you, Scoots, I could take it back, but I told the wife. So we'll be back on Monday to recap what happened over this crazy weekend. I am going to pick all 16 games today. By the way, I have Mississippi State, full disclosure. Probably should have told you that before they started the game and we're 5 minutes in, but I'm losing. So that is in line with what's happening because Scooter's 4-0, and I am a big donut hole in 4.
I like it. So about to be 5-0 because I'm on Michigan State.
Boise State gets beat, last 2 minutes. I mean, I'm in the game. It's a tie game. I'm getting points.
Who's the 12:40 game?
The 12:40 game is Duquesne and BYU. My Cougars.
So you're on BYU.
Oh, yeah. 9.5.
I'm on Duquesne.
Of course. And you're on Michigan State as well.
Mm-hmm.
I should listen to you because the Sparty's up 10-4 right now.
That's right.
With just over 15 to play. But I'm going to pick every game. Why not? Tony is still at his appointment, apparently. He just texted again. I don't think he's going to make it in. I got a strong feeling he's sitting in his recliner watching Michigan State and Mississippi State.
Maybe he headed to Roosters early.
Maybe he did go to Roosters early.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. If we get to Roosters and he's 3 beers in, we know he will have lied. All right, let's pick all these games today for you. Why not? Let's start in the West. Why not? They're playing in Charlotte right now, Michigan State, Mississippi State. By the way, it's now a 2-point game. Mississippi State with a couple quick buckets. I like Mississippi State +1 here. Scooter, you are adamant about Mississippi State and Texas A&M not being very good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the two SEC teams that have gotten a lot of love in this first round that I don't see it. I mean, I do not see Michigan State losing. I do not see Nebraska losing. Think back. Texas A&M was not good.
Don't
this
you
year.
Think Michigan State was overseeded, though, at a 9?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll be the first to tell you that.
Okay. Well, I respectfully, or lack of respectfully, disagree. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to me either, what you think either way.
After that game in Charlotte, approximately 2:45, the Wagner Seahawks, who are 17-15, first four winners, take on the number one seeded North Carolina Tar Heels. CBS for that one at 2:45. Does that game peak? If you're flipping around on games, are you watching Carolina and Wagner? Carolina's 24.5.
I probably would. Yeah, I enjoyed watching Wagner the other night on Tuesday. They're a fun little team.
They are. Seven guys available to play.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they have the manpower for North Carolina. But
they do not have the manpower. I did bet a four-team top seed parlay. I'm giving 24.5, 26, 26.5, and 20-something else. Only one top seed plays today. That's North Carolina. I'm taking the Tar Heels here. 2 o'clock, they start playing the Delta Center, home of the Utah Jazz in Salt Lake City. Long Beach State, with a coach who compared himself to George Costanza yesterday, 21-14. He has been fired, Dan Munson. He said, I'm basically coaching for free now because they've already fired me. But...
So he is still coaching?
He is still coaching.
That's wild.
They met Monday of the conference tournament. He was told he was not going to be back, but he coached his team through the conference tournament, and they went ahead and won the thing. That's what the AD said. Damn it, they went ahead and won the thing.
Is that something that they can renege on and bring him back?
Would you want to go back if you were him? Now, he has said he wants to coach again. You know what? Beat Arizona today. You're going to get some offers.
But can Long Beach State bring him back?
I guess they can try, but if you're him, would you want to go back?
If I'm him, I'm not coaching in the conference tournament or the NCAA tournament to start with. I think it's wild that he's coaching.
Well, you don't want to desert your kids, and I give him credit for that.
Well, I'd also like a vacation.
Arizona's 25-8. That's a TBS game. Again, 2 o'clock. Arizona's 20 there. I'm taking Long Beach State, playing for their coach, and taking the 20 points.
I'm on the other side.
It matters what I say. You're 4-0, I'm 0-4. You're going to go on the other side no matter what.
No, we'll agree on some. I agreed with you on – actually, I haven't yet agreed with you on one because I'm on Wagner.
Salt Lake City, after that first game, it's Nevada, the 10 seed. Coach Steve Alfred – I know it's Alfred – against 7-seeded Dayton. The Wolfpack is 26-7. The Flyers are 24-7. Dayton's an at-large. Now, they were ranked late in the season. They were supposed to win their conference tournament. They did not. Nevada 1.5 as a 10 seed. Now, before I let you make your pick here, historically, if you are a lower-seeded team yet you are favored, they usually do pretty well.
Yep.
Because Vegas knows.
Correct.
Nevada 1.5. Who you got? Nevada, Dayton.
I'm on Dayton.
I'll take the Wolfpack. I hate to, but I think Vegas knows. And I'll go with Vegas on this one. I'm going to give it 1.5. This is incredible. All right, those are the four games in the West today. By the way, only two games in the South today, and Kentucky's one of them.
Interesting.
Just the way it works out. Four games in the East, starting at 12:40, just 9 minutes from now, Duquesne. I know it's Duquesne. 24-11, the 11 seed against the BYU Cougars, 6-seeded. 23-10. They are in Omaha, Nebraska for this game. In fact, all four games in the East today are in Omaha. BYU is 9.5. You already said Duquesne, and I already said BYU.
Yeah, it's too many points.
I've got an unhealthy love affair with BYU.
You do.
It's just unhealthy. I was there in November, or it might have been December, when Bellarmine played Utah and BYU back-to-back. Two nights apart, actually. And the place was incredible. It is the cleanest underneath of an arena that I've ever seen. I mean, they were so hospitable. Did anything. So I fell in love with the place. I did. And then they beat Bellarmine by 42 without their best player. So then I fell in love with Mark Pope's team. I said, man, these guys, they got something. Shoot a lot of threes. They are the oldest team in Division One. They got a couple, I think four or five of the guys are married. And if
to
they,
multiple wives?
No, I didn't say that. And if that is mean spirited. And if they hit a bunch of threes, I know what it is. I know they're Mormons. I get it. If they hit a bunch of threes, they can play with anybody. They went into Allen Fieldhouse, and I know Kansas has been hit by the injury bug, but they went in there and beat Kansas. So I'm going to give the 9.5 here, and I know it's unhealthy. Because if they win and then they play Illinois, I'm probably going to like them again. They're probably going to get killed. But that's who I am. All right, immediately after that game, the 14-3 matchup, Morehead State from Morehead, Kentucky, winners of the OVC tournament, 26-8 against Illinois, winners of the Big Ten tournament. They're also 26-8. All these games in the East, by the way, are on True TV if you can find it. Illinois, 11-point favorite in that one.
I would take Illinois here.
I'm taking Morehead. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. They've got one really good player. By the way, Michigan State, 10-point lead now with under 12 to play.
That's right.
18-8. So we have been in disagreement on every game so far. You did take Arizona against Long Beach, right?
Yeah.
You gave the 20?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jesus. All right, 7:35, still in Omaha, still in the East. 15-seed South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits are 22-2. Tough task against a very good defensive team. Iowa State, who is 2-seed, 27-7. Iowa State, surprisingly, only a 15.5-point favorite. They don't score a lot of points, but they don't give up many points either.
That's true, which is why I'm taking South Dakota State.
I'm going to take Iowa State just to take some, just to take a different team than you.
I mean, we might as well keep it rolling.
Why not? I got Iowa State in the final game. In fact, yeah, I got Iowa State in the final game, losing to Houston.
A lot of times those higher-ranked seeds, the ones, the twos, the threes, don't really kill teams like you think they should in the first round.
I know, but that doesn't help my one-seed love on the parlay today either.
That's true.
You're killing me, Scooter. you should be making a lot of money right now.
I should be, yeah.
10:05 or right after the first game, it'll be Drake and Washington State. 10:05. Get your nap in if you want to watch the Drake Bulldogs.
No,
they're 28-6. They got DeVries on that team, the coach's son, really good. Washington State, a surprise from the Pac-12. They're 24-9. They weren't expected to do much this year. Drake is that again. Here's another instance: 10-seed favored over a 7-seed, 1-point favorite.
I'm all over Drake here. I just think Washington State stinks. They're part of the Pac-2, not the Pac-12. No shot.
I don't know if they stink.
They stink.
But I'm going to take Drake with you. I'm going to mark this down. This is the only one Scooter agree on so far. I'm taking Drake. I'm going to give the point. All right, Midwest. Six games in the Midwest today. First two in Pittsburgh, 130 Akron and Creighton. The Zips are 24-10, 14 seed. Creighton Blue Jays 23-9, the 3 seed. TNT for those games. Creighton is an 11.5-point favorite.
Ooh, I was going to go. I've given a lot of love to Creighton in my brackets, so it kind of makes me want to take Akron here. But no.
Akron should not be in this tournament.
Yeah, they
remember
shouldn't.
The foul, the Kent State foul?
Yeah, Creighton gets it done by that.
I'm going to take the points here. I'm going to take Akron, and not because you took Creighton, but I think.
Big Zips guy?
No, I think it's a backdoor cover. It's one of those things they shouldn't be in. Everybody thinks they shouldn't be in. If a guy doesn't make a boneheaded play, they're not in the tournament.
You know what that screams to me, everything you just went through?
And actually, that's why I like them.
Screams an Akron win, straight up.
Well, not a win.
No, straight up win.
Don't go crazy.
No, that's what it sounds
You've
like.
You've lost your mind, man. but I'm going to take the Zips here. Right after that one, 11-seed Oregon, who got in by virtue of winning the Pac-12 tournament, will take on 6-seed South Carolina. The Gamecocks 26-7 out of the SEC. They had a great early part of the season, kind of hit a wall there at one point, got it back a little bit. Oregon's a 1-point favorite here.
As the 11 seed.
As the 11 seed.
So Mike Keep Rutherford gave out some stats yesterday on his show. I want to say there's been 17 instances of an 11 seed being the favorite over the 6. All 17 have won. So I'll take Oregon.
That's crazy. That's a crazy number. I'm going to take South Carolina, even though that exact stat you gave is the reason that I shouldn't, and I'm stubborn. Like when I bet overs, I'm ridiculously stubborn. Like Virginia, when I bet an over on Virginia. You know how much money I lost on overs on Virginia this year?
That's on you.
I know.
By the way, the number was 11 times, I guess, that 11 seed's been ranked or they've been favored, and they've won every single one of those games. And 9 of the 11, that 11 seed has won by double digits. So take that for what it's worth.
Go Gamecocks. All right, let's move to Charlotte. 650, still in the Midwest here. 10 seed Colorado State, who got the win on Tuesday night. We'll take on 7th seed Texas. Colorado State 25-10. The Longhorns are 20-12. Again, that game's in Charlotte, so no real home court advantage for either team there. Texas is a 2-point favorite, and I am going to take Colorado State in the 2 there.
Hey-o, mark that one. We're the same on that.
Because I believe that these teams that play in the first 4, they've already been in the, you know, in the mode of, we're in tournament play, man. We got one under our belt.
Well, and I forget.
And I like what I saw at Colorado State the other night.
Same. But I forget the numbers on that. But a play-in team that gets into the big dance almost always wins.
One of them wins. Yeah. So it's either Colorado or Colorado State or both.
I think both.
After that game, 9:20, St. Peter's in Tennessee. This is my pick of the day. I've said it all week long. Tennessee's 21.5-point favorite. St. Peter's is 19-13. They're not in without winning their tournament. Tennessee 24-8. Last 2 games for the Vols, they lose at home to Kentucky, and then they get bounced in the first round, or their first game of the SEC tournament. I think it's a bounce back game. They're in Charlotte. They'll have the crowd. Tennessee 21.5. I'm giving the points.
Yeah. I love your confidence with this one, so I'm going to ride with you on that.
Oh, man. mark another one down. All right, also Midwest here, 7:25, McNeese and Gonzaga. Salt Lake City, which is, you know, obviously Gonzaga should have more fans there. McNeese is 30-3 under Will Wade. TBS for this one, Gonzaga 6.5.
Ooh, it's gone down.
I wrote them down this morning, so 6.5.
I'm still going to roll with McNeese here. They've gotten a lot of love on that upset pick, and they're getting the love for a reason, so give me McNeese.
Actually, Moneyline McNeese today.
Hey-o.
In a parlay. So, yeah, I'm with you there. McNeese, have I seen him play?
No.
But I've listened to a lot of stuff this week, and that just seems like – I have seen Gonzaga play. And even though they beat Kentucky in Rupp Arena,
that's a fluke.
They lost to St. Mary's twice. They are not the Gonzaga that we remember. So I like McNeese at least to keep it close. I think they win the game. And after that one, 9:55, stay awake for Samford in Kansas. KU without Kevin McCullers Jr. for the tournament. Hunter Dickinson will be back. Samford is 29-5. The Jayhawks are 22-10. Kansas is still a 7-point favorite, even without McCullers.
I'm rolling Samford here.
Wow, all of a sudden we agree on everything.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm going to take the 7 here in Samford as well. Michigan State had gone out to a 20-8 lead. It is now 20-13. Sparty with 8:23 to play in the first half. We'll take a break, come back, 2 games in the South, and we will do our best to figure out a way that Kentucky can beat Oakland tonight. Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big Apple. Welcome back. Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears, Scooter Dingus with you on this Thursday, final segment of the week.
Woohoo!
He didn't even know it was Friday when he came in.
I don't know what day it is. You all are turning me into an old retired guy.
Thornton's text line is open as we speak. 502-414-1450 if you'd like to text the show. 414-1450. Michigan State now leads 20-15 over Mississippi State. Under 7 minutes to play in the first half. That game is in Charlotte. So a 7-0 run by Mississippi State has them back in the game. And early in Salt Lake City, or not in Salt Lake City, in Omaha, Scoots. He's on the phone, so I'm going to wait on this. Duquesne 5, BYU nothing. That's Duquesne 5, BYU 0.
Hey-o. Told you.
I'm sorry, 7-0.
About to put it on them Cougars.
Duquesne, 17 minutes to go in the first half. The BYU Cougars being shut out right now.
Tony's probably crying.
Not good for me, that's for sure. All right, 2 more games that we didn't get to. South region. We'll start with the second game here, NC State and Texas Tech. NC State coming off that improbable five-game ACC run where they won the title. They beat Duke along the way. They beat Carolina in the championship game. Knocked off a stout Louisville squad as well. 22-14 of the Wolfpack. Texas Tech, sixth seed out of the Big 12, 23-10. That game is in Pittsburgh on CBS. Texas Tech's a five-point favorite. I'll let you pick this one.
Give me Texas Tech. North Carolina State stinks.
You know what? I'm going to take the 5 points here.
Good luck.
I think there's something to be said. You know, Jim Valvano got them in the tournament, and they went on and won it by winning the ACC tournament. They were not going to be in the field, and they went on to win the title back in 1983, long before you were born.
Yep. 6 years.
And I don't know that they win this game, but I think they keep it close. So I'm going to take NC State to play tough like they did in the ACC tournament. That's all. Now, I don't feel good with the way Virginia got beat the other day about anything ACC related right now.
You shouldn't.
But and it took overtime for them to beat Virginia in the ACC tournament. And Virginia stinks to high heaven, let's be honest. All right, final game of the day that we'll talk about. It's actually the early game this evening in Pittsburgh, 7:10 start. Oakland, the Golden Grizzlies are 23-11, and the third-seeded Kentucky Wildcats, 23-9. CBS has that game. Kentucky, 13.5 now. All right. How does Oakland win this game? I love their coach, by the way. He's been there for 40 years. He's the most confident coach I've ever heard. You know, I don't think Kentucky can stop us inside. I don't think they're going to be able to score inside. Now, Kentucky's probably laughing at that, going, we don't score inside anyway. Onyanso doesn't score. Big Z doesn't score. Aaron Bradshaw doesn't score. We score from the three-point line with Shepard, Dillingham, Reeves, and others. Is this a game that Kentucky should be worried about? Because all of a sudden, local media, at least Lexington, they're worried now about Oakland.
Yeah.
When this bracket came out, everybody breathed a big sigh of relief. Oh, man, we're three seed? Kentucky's a three seed? Oh, this is great. Oakland, we don't know where they're at. They're in Detroit, by the way. Everybody was, and now literally 4 days later, oh, my God, they can beat us.
That comes from being snake bit in the past, right? I mean, yes. Most notably St. Peter's,
but, you know, yeah. It's absolutely about being.
You do have to go into a game like this with some caution if you're a Kentucky fan. But, I mean, I'm with you. I think you got to go back to when the bracket was first released and the whole mindset was,
I agree.
Well, look at the draw we've got. This is nice and friendly for us. So, yeah, I don't know why the switch either. I mean, I've gotten that from Kentucky fans as well. That there's, it seems like nervous energy going into this game.
I mean, when the bracket came out, you could see. You know, John Calipari has a viewing party with his players, and he invites media every year. And you could see the elation on these guys' faces. Over a three, Oakland, and then the winner of NC State, Texas Tech, and then Marquette's our two. Oh, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that changes in 4 days.
Yeah,
Tyler Colek's going to play for Marquette tomorrow. So good for him against Western Kentucky. That's going to help Marquette. I agree with that. But of all the two seeds you could have got, did you want Tennessee? Did you want Arizona? Did you want Iowa State? Or did you want Marquette?
Marquette's the ticket.
Absolutely. I understand the angst. I get it. We haven't performed the way we're supposed to perform. St. Peter's is the most recent prime example, but last year, same thing.
Now
the problem is you are not a good defensive team.
That's true. But watch the 360, John, when if Kentucky goes out, wins by 20, 25 points tonight, it'll be a complete
gonna win it all.
360 tomorrow morning. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hang the banner.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're gonna hear. Houston can win by 30 tomorrow. Well, yeah, but look who they play. Kentucky went by 30. Well, that Oakland team was good.
Yeah.
And that Oakland team was good. Now, if Kentucky comes out and hits shots, and I'm going to say this every game. If they come out and hit shots, they're going to be awful tough to beat because they hit a lot of threes.
Regardless of the defense.
But if they don't hit shots, if they shoot 42%, let's just say, overall. 30% from three instead of 35%. Now you're in trouble. Now you got to play a little defense or it's going to be lights out. Not tonight. I'm convinced this is a walkover tonight. And by the way, I didn't pick it yet, but I'm taking Kentucky. Are you going to take Oakland in the points?
I'm taking Kentucky as well.
Man, we agreed on way too many there.
Only 6 out of 16?
7.
7? Okay.
No. We did not agree on NC State, Texas.
No.
You're right. Let me X that out. We agreed on 6. 6 out of 16. That's not bad. I'm not going to write all these the rest of these down, but I do want to touch on some of the games tomorrow because, like I say, we won't be here. Michigan State does lead Mississippi State. Final media timeout in the first half, 27-18, a 7-0 run for Michigan State there. And believe it or not, it's still a touchdown, 7-0 at the first TV timeout, Duquesne and BYU.
We were talking about that high-powered BYU offense.
7-0. This is incredible.
Wonder who threw the touchdown pass.
The Cougars are 0 for 7, 0 for 3 from deep, and it's now 9-0.
3 field goals.
Whew. BYU. What are you doing? All right, if you do want to get up at 12 tomorrow, 12:15, Northwestern, Florida Atlantic, that's a really good. I love these 12:15, 8-9 games.
Yeah.
These are great. Michigan State and Mississippi State, that's great to open the tournament.
Good way to kick it off.
Northwestern, FAU tomorrow. You got a Final Four squad from last year in FAU whose coach is probably going to be somewhere else next year, whether it's Vanderbilt, Louisville, or pick somebody else. And Northwestern, who doesn't get in very often, Chris Collins' team, is a 2.5-point underdog here.
I'm on Northwestern.
Yeah, I am too. I think that FAU, by the way, when your coach is interviewing in Fort Myers with Vanderbilt the week of the game, you're distracted.
Yeah.
You're distracted.
Well, and they don't have Boo Booey.
They don't. Northwestern does. Mm-hmm. But they've got guys back from last year. But they were disappointing this year, even in their own conference.
Very.
Let's see. Western Kentucky, Marquette, 2 o'clock. South region, Marquette's 14.5. I mentioned Kolek has worked out today at practice. He's apparently going to play, not 100%, but as he said in his quote, nobody's 100% this time of year.
Yeah.
I'll get out there and I'll play as hard as I can. Can the Hilltoppers keep it close? Over under 158.5 in this game.
Western Kentucky is my 15 seed that's most likely to beat the 2 seed. And maybe that
is that more about WKU or about Marquette?
I think it's probably more so about Marquette.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I would take the points in that game.
Same.
WKU, this is not a team that was expected to be in the tournament. And yet they go out and they win the,
CUSA, right?
Conference USA tournament. And here we are with Steve Lutz, first year coach. Good on him. Let's see as I look down here. Here's one. New Mexico and Clemson. Here's another one of your favorite stats here. Mm-hmm. 11 seed, 2.5-point favorite.
Got to go with
over the Clemson Tigers.
You got to go with New Mexico State.
New Mexico,
yeah.
And that's our boy Richard W. Pitino. I don't know if his middle initials W. I have no idea.
I was about to be really impressed.
But Richard Pitino's team, again, Mountain West, out to try to prove something. They think they're underseeded. Here's an 11 seed. But if they don't win the Mountain West tournament, they're not in. That has been – the committee has said that. They stole a bid.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2.5, a team that wasn't supposed to be in. Here we are.
I think that says more so about Clemson, how much they stink.
Can Yale beat Auburn?
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
It won't happen, but they can.
Auburn's
for sure.
12.5 here. Yale, again, 8-1 run in the last 22 seconds to come from behind to beat Brown, who's never been to the tournament. And guess what? They thought they were going. I was watching the end of that game, Scooter. Those Browns, the student section. It's
nuts.
A small gym. It's a little bitty gym in the Ivy League. They are going crazy. I think they played it at Princeton, who was the one seed. And then Yale just breaks their hearts. Oh, I almost cried for them. I didn't really. Almost cry. Auburn's a trendy pick to go to the Final Four. But, again, you're in the East with UConn, with Illinois, with Iowa State.
Auburn can beat UConn and Iowa
State.
But
all these conference champions are all in the same region.
It's a tough region.
I mean, I got Iowa State beating Auburn in the, I do have Auburn beating Connecticut. I do. I'm not a Bruce Pearl fan. I'm going to start wearing shirts like Bruce Pearl.
Please don't.
Colorado, Florida. We got a. Here's another interesting spread. This came out today. Florida's 2 now. They start open at 1, but they're now a 2-point favorite. Did you see what you wanted to see out of Colorado last night?
Oh, yeah,
night
to absolutely.
Make them a legitimate foe here for Florida.
Yeah, I said all week, if Colorado wins that game last night, watch out, Florida. And I think Colorado wins that one.
See, I've got SEC, Big Ten, Big 12 bias. I do. I think the SEC was great. I think the Big 12 was the best conference this year. And Big Ten top half I really like as well.
Yeah, but you were also pretty high on the Big East, and they only got three tournaments in, three teams in.
Well, that was wrong. Seton Hall should have been in ahead of Virginia.
You think Seton Hall should have got in over St. John's?
Yes. Even though St. John's, I think, beat them in the conference tournament, Seton Hall had 13-7 regular season in the conference and more impressive wins in the regular season. Texas A&M Nebraska, Scoots. Go on. Tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me how bad the SEC is.
I'm just going to tell you. If you like money, you like green, it's your favorite color like John, just go ahead and take Nebraska.
Hey,
don't buy the hype with A&M.
Hey, BYU scored.
Wow.
They're down 14-5, but they scored. Michigan State 29, Mississippi State 21, under a minute to go there in the first half. So a low-scoring game.
That's good for you.
That's good for me. I rarely bet the under, but I did take the under in that first game of the tournament. Purdue minus 26.5 over Grambling.
Give me Grambling to cover that.
Did you not watch that game last
Give me
night?
Grambling, John.
That was obviously 2-16 seeds last night.
I mean, it depends on how many offensive fouls that Zach Edey gets away with, I guess. Wow. How many times he sticks that hip out there on a screen.
Another trendy pick is 5-12, James Madison over Wisconsin. I think you're on board with that.
Right? I'm on board with James Madison, yeah.
Wisconsin's only a 5-point favorite here.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin looked really good in the Big Ten tournament, even in that loss to Illinois.
They did.
They looked pretty darn good. They knock off Purdue. And Wisconsin's better than we think. All right, have fun today. Have fun tomorrow. It'll be less fun on the weekend, but try to have fun. I'll be back Monday. We will recap every madness thing that happens. Thanks for listening. Spears on Sports presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X. On the Big X.